Conference Committee on Senate Bill 139, July 22, 1993.
State the position of the respective bodies, and I'll recognize Council Mr. Taylor if there are any questions or if members desire a summary of the differences between the House and Senate passed versions we have. Also, I believe several representatives of the Department of Corrections and other public safety agencies who may wish to comment briefly or respond to questions. And I believe we've asked the assistance of the fiscal office if there are budget questions to be resolved. Good morning, Ms. Acuff. If there's room here, please feel free to volunteer any comments you wish. And with that, I'll open it to comments, or Mr. Taylor, if you want to give us just a quick statement of the differences between the House and Senate passed bills.
Sure. And then we have
Well, committee members, shall we proceed or shall we recess for 10 minutes?
Proceed.
Let's proceed. Okay. Council?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The basic differences between the House bill and the Senate bill and the version the House passed out are Senate Bill 139D added to Chapter 791 of the Oregon Laws of 1989. That's Oregon's forfeiture law. Driving law suspended in violation of ORS 811-182 to the definition of prohibited conduct. That's in Section 38 of the bill. It also differed in that Section 139D, that's the House version, driving while suspended where the suspension is based on the use of a commercial vehicle and the commission of a felony is retained as a Class C felony. In the B version, it was reduced to a Class A misdemeanor. In the D version, which once again is a House version, reduces from a Class A misdemeanor to infraction, DWS based on recklessly endangering another, menacing, criminal mischief where they are based on the operation of a motor vehicle and making a false statement to DMV. Senate Bill 139 sets a dividing line for distinction between first-degree property crimes, a Class C felony, and second-degree theft, a Class A misdemeanor, at $750. In the House Senate version of the bill, it was $1,000. Current law, it's $500. Senate Bill 139 raises the fines associated with felonies for a Class A felony not to exceed $300,000, a B felony not to exceed $200,000, and Class C felony at $100,000. Currently, the fine for all felonies cannot exceed $100,000. The Senate did not address this issue. Senate Bill 139 requires the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision to supervise those in parole or post-prison supervision as follows: 6 months for crimes in the categories 1 to 3 of the sentencing guidelines grid, 12 months if the crime is a category 4 to 6, 18 months if the crime category is 7 to 11. This is half the time required currently by law. The Senate version 139B required that all prisoners serve at least 6 months of active supervision. 139D allows prisoners to be put on inactive supervision at the end of their active supervision if the parole officer makes a written finding recommending such supervision. I think I should add to Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that particular as it relates to the forfeiture provision that's in 139D, since that provision was added, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the case of Austin v. the United States, has cast into doubt, considerably into doubt, forfeitures where the issue of proportionality is involved, in the sense that there must be some relationship between the criminal activity and what's being forfeited. When you're now talking about forfeiting a vehicle for driving while suspended, it's a very, very, at best, it's a very murky area of the law, and probably requires the Asset Forfeiture Oversight Advisory Committee during the interim to take a look into that issue.
Okay. I'm sorry that Representative Parks and Tiernan are excused here for purposes of caucus, but I'll restate when they return. It would generally be my recommendation that we remove from 139 the forfeiture provisions in order that we may focus and complete our work, which I think is very near to completion, and Senator Hamby can concur with that, I believe. In the Senate Judiciary Committee, our work on House Bill 2381, which is the major forfeiture reauthorization bill. And as counsel has stated, since I believe the House took action on the de-engrossed version, we do have a Supreme Court case. And again, we're very, very close, I think, to resolution of the major issues that relate to forfeiture.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cairns.
Speaking for myself, I would concur, and maybe we discuss that among ourselves and set aside that you could report that informally to the other members if they're not able to return before we go full committee, so we can.
Thank you. Let me see if there are any additional comments on that issue.
Mr. Chairman, I too concur that I think it could be better addressed in your House bill and keep the issue in one piece rather than spreading it out among several bills.
Thank you. I'll report that and share that with the balance of the House members. Let's move then to the balance of any differences.
You want to hear what I think?
let me raise that question. Do any other Senate members want to hear what Representative Courtney, your opinion, please?
It pains me, but I'm willing to make that major concession. I'm more than happy to concur that, for what that's worth, since, you know, I'm only one of three and the other two have taken off. But I've shared that with anybody who cared. I was talking about it in the halls. I was talking about it in the parking lots. I've shared that all over this Salem just recently. I did coffees on it, everything.
It's commendable. I'll note that for the record. Thank you. Mr. Hall, would you like to maybe come up and speak to any of the remaining differences between the two bills as to any impact or your opinion as to whether the Senate, if it would be your recommendation that the Senate concur in the balance of the amendments adopted by the House? Or why don't you come up to the witness table, if you would, and feel free to bring Ms. Clausen. I think you've been... And I understand you may be proposing some technical amendments, which, Council, are those before us?
Just passed out.
Okay. Please, Ms. Clausen, yeah, Mr. Hall, proceed.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we've had a chance, obviously, to go over this in some depth with all of the committees who've been concerned with this legislation, and we essentially concur with the House recommendations and would urge the Senate to also concur. I think the major issue was supervision and the length of supervision. I think the House Judiciary Committee felt very strongly on this issue. We had a rather lengthy discussion about it and felt that the ultimate resolution and the recommendations of the House made good sense, good public policy, and we'd urge the Senate to concur with those recommendations.
Mr. Chairman. Yes, Senator Hannan.
Mr. Hall, in your budget deliberations on your agency, it was indicated that your budget was centered around the Senate version of 139. Now you're saying that actually some of the changes incorporated by the House are supported by your agency. My question to you is, how much has that driven additional burden onto your budget, and do you have the capability of absorbing that additional responsibility?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannan, there was additional money recommended in the House version of the budget to deal specifically with the supervision issue. I think in balance, looking at the overall objectives of the department and the overall objectives of the legislation, we felt that it was supportable and that we felt that it would be in the interest of the department to move forward. Do you want to add something to that, Ms. Clausen?
Well, let me expand on that if I can, because I don't think that the Senate has agreed to the compromise on the House-Senate Conference Committee on the budget yet. And although the House indicated there was more funds, the Senate hasn't gone along with that at this point. So that concerns me that we're putting implementing legislation in place without having necessarily an agreement on the budget.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannan, I think the issue here with respect to the financial impact or the fiscal impact, from our best estimates, it would be approximately $2 million, $2.8 million. There are several other issues that I think are still divide the House and the Senate with respect to the corrections budget. Perhaps those other areas need some further discussion when those issues come before the conference committee. But I think the additional money in this particular area is an appropriate response, and I think it does serve, again, the best interest of the department and the best interest of our overall efforts. I think there may be some other areas that you and your colleagues may want to discuss with the House with respect to some other of the budget recommendations. This is one area I would recommend that the Senate concur.
Mr. Chairman, if I can.
Yes, please.
Does this appear to expand the community corrections program that we have identified for your budget? We have identified funds for the community corrections element of it. Now this is adding some additional responsibility or some additional supervision back into the community. Is it your assumption then that the $2.8 million that you've identified as a related cost is going to be adequate? Or is this something we're going to get caught in a catch-22 during the interim when the governor doesn't allow you to come back to the emergency board? We don't have funds in the emergency board, and you come back and say, geez, we can't do these things, but there's no money available in which to carry out this responsibility.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, the 2.8 would be additional funds, as was recommended by the House. We could not do it without the additional funds. I want to be very honest with you and your colleagues that there'd be no way that we could do it without that additional funding. But I think the 2.8 is more than adequate to provide the resources necessary to provide this additional supervision. And we've done a reasonably good job of trying to estimate what the cost would be over the next, over the biennium. And 2.8, I think, is a realistic figure, and I don't think it's going to put us in a position of having to come back during the interim to ask for any additional help or any additional resources in this particular area.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for that exchange, and I'll recognize Senator Cairns, and then we might want to just specify which sections in the bill, which amendments made by the House have this specific impact.
And question.
Senator Cairns.
Question to Senator Hannon. Are you satisfied in listening to that interplay? What I did not hear was anybody said that there was $2.8 million.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Senator, that's part of our deliberations that we're caught up in on the conference committee between the Senate and House version on the budget. Certainly it has some direct impact, and I think we would need to explore that as a conference committee with the LFO staff and make sure that there was indeed adequate funding potentially available. Otherwise, we're creating something that's kind of like feels good. And we leave here under the assumption that we've done something, but we don't fund it, and so it doesn't get taken care of.
Okay, let me invite Ms. Acuff. If you want to have any comments, again, please feel free to share them with us if you wish. If not, well, let me ask Ms. Clausen or Mr. Owl, is it Section 4, which speaks to the length of supervision following incarceration, on which the largest or the greatest portion of the fiscal impact is felt?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, and that is also the section in which the amendment from the parole board is proposed.
Okay, while members are reviewing that, let me bring that to Representative Courtney.
130. I assume, most high and learned chair, you recognize me because of what I whispered in your ear. And what I think I can say for certain, it's always dangerous to represent other people, but I think if Representative Tiernan was here, the chair of the subcommittee on crime and correction, and the chair of the full judiciary, Representative Parks, is here, they would feel strongly that these provisions remain in here. Having said that, if there's a budgetary issue here, and obviously there is, I have no influence, as you know, on many things around here, at least of all that, I whispered to Leonard and High Chair that it could be then that this committee needs to recess or until that has resolved itself, that 2.8 issue, if you know what I'm saying here. And otherwise, I don't know what else to do. I mean, I feel comfortable with the House version, but I got to say, this battle is going on in other places that impacts this. And so I think, and I said that, right, Chair Heiler, and that's what I said to him. So I don't know what else to say than that. I think I've represented Representative Tiernan and Parks pretty good, and they haven't told me to say that. If they did, I wouldn't say it anyway, but I'm just saying what my tummy tells about both of them. And so that's where I see it.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
I think that's an accurate observation. I think what we're trying to do is put together the implementing legislation before we get the budget issue resolved. And I'd rather not be that unkind to the agency to say, here's what you're going to do, and then not make the funds available. And there appears to be quite a discrepancy at this point between the Senate and the House conferees on the budget. And I think that really needs to be defined a little tighter before we get down to closure on some of these issues.
And I think, Chair Springer,
probably
now, rather than the merits or demerits of what is here, what would become a bone of contention between us and could lock us up is, what about the money issue? So
exactly.
I think that's just recognizing the fact of life here.
Okay. The Chair concurs with the comments of Representative Courtney and Senator Hannon on that. And I would suggest perhaps at this point we'll allow further comment from our witnesses. Briefly, there is a full Ways and Means Committee meeting beginning as we speak. Since apparently Representative Parks and Representative Chernin have been delayed and may not be able to join us, we're not sure when, the Chair would suggest that we either recess or adjourn in order that the Chair may review with them our initial discussion on the forfeiture issue, see if there's some concurrence there. But the Chair would agree that the budget and this bill are kind of paired and need to move together.
Mm-hmm.
And Representative Courtney is excused to return to his caucus. Mr. Hall and Ms. Clausen, would you like to offer any comments based upon the conversation we've had up here?
Well, Mr. Chairman, my only concern is one that goes back to the hearings that we had before Senator Hannon's committee as well as before the House Judiciary Committee. And there was an effort to achieve some agreement on the bill itself, on Senate Bill 139, before we really tried to complete the budget process. And I appreciated Senator Hannon's efforts as chairman of that committee to kind of move through that process and get agreement on the bill and the substance of the bill before we tried to decide what monies would be available to implement the legislation. So we need the legislation. We clearly need it. And I think that although there is some difference, and there's certainly a fiscal impact with respect to that difference between the House and the Senate version, I think there may be some other areas where there may be some opportunities for the House and Senate to look at the budget where we might find some other areas where those differences can be resolved. I would hate for the $2 million to hang us up on this particular bill. This is a really critical bill for the department. And I think the House amendments to the bill are reasonable amendments, I think, will be helpful ultimately in implementing the program.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannon.
I appreciate Mr. Hall, your comments, and certainly you're very observant. I would point out to you, however, that in the original version, we adopted 139 predicated first on what was contained in there and then developed a budget bill around 139. Now we're just at the opposite end of the spectrum, and we're having to develop a budget first predicated before we start expanding 139. And what we have to do is make sure our available resources reflect our ability to go out and enforce it and carry forth the, based upon what the Senate did, there's adequate resources within the budget that we built. The problem is a disparity between the Senate and House versions on how much funds are indeed going to be available in the budget. And so while I appreciate your comments and your concerns, it puts us in a little different dilemma at this point.
Okay, it's difficult to have a conference committee when there's no one here from the House able to participate. I'm enjoying this discussion. I think it's valuable and helpful, and I want to again state my concurrence with the comments of Senator Hannon and Senator Cairns. I think the Senate members are agreed on that course, and I think realistically at this point it's best to adjourn and hopefully return within the next day or two and keep our fingers crossed as far as, and we certainly will be conferring closely as to the progress on the underlying budget issues and differences and how they're resolved between the House and Senate on the corrections budget. And this, I suspect, will track one for one with that discussion. Any further comments from the Senate members? If not, we'll be adjourned. Thank you.